Everybody's ego takes a shot on this show.
You gotta keep your chill with Jim, Matt, and Molly.
I am savage.
So you're not special.
Jim, if we want to play this game, we can play this game.
And I'm just like, oh my god, this guy's gonna swing on Jim.
Right. He's a complicated fellow.
People like me.
Yeah, I don't think so.
This is Jim, Matt, and Molly on ESPN Wisconsin and the ESPN Wisconsin app.
We're learning a lot about each other.
Off the fake, pass caught, touchdown, Green Bay, Romeo Doubs to the outside, wide open, touchdown, Tucker Raft.
With all the playmakers we have on our offense, you might as well just call us a five-headed dragon.
Stepping up, flag thrown, and the Parsons gets in there.
Swagger, then last year, yeah, we got Micah Parsons.
Broadcasting live from the Everlight Solar Studio in downtown Madison.
Touchdown!
It's a Molly Victory Monday on a Friday.
It is a Victory Molly Monday. That is what that music signifies on Jim, Matt, and Molly. And we're presented by Coors Light. If the mountains are blue, you know what to do.
And that's crush
a Coors Light.
Come on. Yeah. Your one time to be able to do it, and that's how
but
you perform?
Unfortunately, I don't think it's going to be my one time to be able to do that.
Well, you and me both hope the same
thing. I was anxious. I had a little performance anxiety.
I get it. Right.
It was his first time.
Yeah.
Give him a break.
Okay, well, you did it nice and quick. It's okay. Well, guys, it's a Victory Molly Monday. This is our first time trying this out here. So, I don't know how we get into this. This is Jim, Matt, Molly. We're on ESPN Madison. You can hear us on the ESPN Wisconsin app. And on the ESPN Madison YouTube stream.
So, Molly, what does a Victory Molly Monday mean?
So, Jim had this great idea that instead of us all hearing his takes from being a Bears fan, talking about the Green Bay Packers and their wins, because not that he's going to bring a negative attitude about it, but he won't be as positive or have the exact thoughts as an actual Packers fan may have, right? And I feel like, Ryan, me and you kind of align in the sense that we're both pretty realistic fans. You know, we always talk about it on our show where I'm the realistic fan. Matt is the one that the Packers can do no wrong. And Jim, you're the contrarian. I don't know if that's the perfect word.
I think contrarian
people
would work.
Like,
I'm going to take
align
a
pretty close.
Right. But I mean, you're still the fan contrarian.
Yes.
But like the way I root for my team is the same way you root for your team. But when I talk about the Packers, I do my absolute best to be down the middle. But
people interpret it as hate.
But also on a day like today, full disclosure, a day like today or a day after a Packers victory, I don't think that's fair to Packer fans. So, like, I never bring in a purposely disingenuous or negative take, but I probably don't bring the proper level of excitement. So that's why I'm handing it off to you. Because Matt, well, one, is incapable of leading the show.
But he's also just going to be way too excited.
Yes.
So I will preface this entire segment that we're going to do this season by saying that I'm not just going to bow at the feet of the Green Bay Packers by any means. Like, let's just get into last night, right? So, my take initially, and I'm curious what you all think too, I feel really good about this defense. I love watching this defense. I couldn't tell you the last time that I enjoyed when the defense was on the field for the Green Bay Packers. I could not tell you. I think Clay Matthews might have been on the team. Maybe even A.J. Hawk at this point.
Like, has to have been.
I seriously don't know. There's never, like, even the pickups of Rashawn Gary, LVN, a first-round pick, like, there should be excitement there. There's not. There wasn't. There wasn't until Micah Parsons came. So, I enjoy watching this Green Bay defense, and I think they are legit. I think that they are actually elite. However, it was very hard for me last night to watch the game and feel confident when the offense was on.
Oh.
I don't know if you guys felt that way. I'm at a weird point in my fandom where I fully trust the defense right now, even though the secondary I feel like hasn't done a crazy amount. I mean, Keyshawn Nixon had a good game last night, in my opinion.
Career high, five pass breakups.
Yeah, I think he got away with a penalty too, right?
He might have. He might have been called for one. No, Nate Hobbs was called for a couple. Nate Hobbs
got one too. Which I didn't even realize that he was like playing until all of a sudden I'm like, that's Nate Hobbs.
I would say they didn't even really throw at him, it felt like, till the second half. But it felt like, I mean, shoot, the Commanders barely got to do anything in the first half.
Yeah.
They kept getting pushed off the field by the defense. The offense dominated the time of possession. They didn't really dominate the scoreboard, unfortunately, kind of like you were saying. But the defense, I mean, Micah Parsons made Jaden Daniels look like a below average quarterback. He made him look like he was, gosh, he
Bambi?
Made him look like he was Justin Fields. I'm like, no disrespect to the Bears. Yeah. It just, that looked like the Justin Fields that struggled in Chicago.
Mm-hmm. Look, Micah Parsons makes Keyshawn Nixon look like a good football player.
Yes. Sure, yes.
I mean, that's the difference. He makes Lucas Van Ness not look like a bust.
Yep.
He looks like
Rashawn. Lucas Van Ness had I texted you guys in our group chat. He had a top 10 play for himself last night. Like, I swear.
He did. Like, yeah. Micah Parsons' effect is that Lucas Van Ness is no longer a bum. Rashawn Gary is no longer an underperforming bum. Keyshawn Nixon's not a talk-too-much bum. Because Micah Parsons creates so much confidence and so much attention, he's a multiplier, that all those players get better. And Micah Parsons is going to continue to do that. So my takeaway was that, yeah, the Packers are reminding me again of those Ravens teams with Ray Lewis.
Mm-hmm.
Where you don't need expert or top-of-the-line quarterback play. And I said this going into the game. And I think Joe Flacco is a hell of a quarterback. So, and Joe Flacco was probably in the MVP conversation the year the Packers won the Super Bowl. Pro Bowl caliber guy. Heck of a quarterback. And that's all Jordan Love has to be. Because the offensive line kept him clean.
It was fine.
Missing two starting offensive linemen. Yeah. Did it ever feel like for a moment that they were missing two starting linemen last
night? At one point, I realized that I forgot, if I'm being honest. I forgot that Zach Tom wasn't on the field.
Zach Tom and Aaron Banks, the guy who they paid this offseason.
Well, Aaron Banks kind of stinks, but Zach Tom, I was surprised.
But the first game, though, they had a hell of a game. The offensive line was tremendous in the first game.
But even in this game, Jordan Love still mainly had a clean pocket. And Matt LaFleur, and the other part you have going for you is Matt LaFleur's in his bag. I mean, he was calling.
It's not.
Oh,
tight.
My gosh. I'm, all the I'm trick plays, everything.
And I've said this a million times about Jordan Love, and this isn't a knock, and this still reminds me of the Jared Goff, Joe Flacco type quarterback. He's at his absolute best, and who does this sound like, when he has a clean pocket and he can and has a quick read. He can make any throw out there in the NFL when he has a clean pocket and a quick read.
But they showed that stat on the broadcast last night. Did you see that? Where it was like in the first half, not even the first half. It was like when he doesn't have any pressure coming at him, he had however many yards, hundreds of yards.
He's not under pressure.
Then like when he has pressure on him, it was what? He was 1-for-6. Like it was.
That's what's going to, but here's the thing. It doesn't matter because the defense is so good. But if you want to have the Jordan Love elite conversation, that if it continues will keep him from being elite. But it doesn't matter. Like the Packers defense, one, creates a great field position, can create turnovers, mm-hmm. puts teams in bad down and distance. So the Packers are able to play complementary football. So all those things work in Jordan Love's favor. So I mean this in the best way possible. Jordan Love is insignificant in the way that Brock Purdy was insignificant when the 49ers went to the Super Bowl. Like, just go out there and do your thing, man. Like, all the Packer fans who were saying, like, Dabo Sweeney, and look at all the weapons that he's got, and look at how easy it is.
Dabo Sweeney?
I'm not Sweeney. I'm sorry.
Debo Samuel.
Debo Samuel. He's got all those guys. He's got all those players.
At first, I was like, hold on, Clemson?
He played at Iowa State. Yeah. What are we?
But he's got all those players. He's got all that talent, and he doesn't have to do anything. He's got Shanahan calling plays.
Yeah.
But it doesn't matter. Like, it didn't matter. Brock Purdy, great or not, he played great.
But that's where, like, the other half of this, yes, I'm all excited about the defense and everything, but I still have insecurity when it comes to the offense. Because I think Jordan Love could be all the things that you just said. He could be a great game manager, all the things. He just has to be competent. But he could also be a liability. And I think we saw that in the first game. Now, I know that he played a good game. But Ryan, you and I were talking, I said it multiple times this week when we were recapping the Lions game earlier, or last week Sunday, he had two almost interceptions, and let us not forget it. They were bad, too.
Yeah, those were almost the doy-doy interceptions. Those were almost the Tucker Kraft running over the middle against the Rams. Those were almost just as bad as anything that he's thrown. The Kirby Joseph pick that he threw against the Lions last year. But I will say, in this Commanders game, you didn't really see that, at least not the doy-doy pasta one.
But you were one to point it out on social media. I don't know if this is when you were beefing with Alex Stroh.
A little bit.
When this was, okay.
He was getting a little crazy.
And I know you said that you had the clip of it too, but when he threw the almost interception to Matthew Golden as well, right on the goal line, essentially.
Yeah, the 4th-and-3 on the first drive of the game when he just short-arms it to Matthew Golden in the end zone, and it would have been an awesome touchdown had he hit him, mm-hmm. especially it being the fact that it was 4th-and-3, and he just leaves it a little bit behind. Now, it would have been a pretty impressive play if Amos had made the interception there, the cornerback for the Washington Commanders.
Also, was that Adrian Amos that used to play for the
it's
Packers?
Trey Amos.
No, okay.
Different guy. No, this guy's like 23.
I feel like
Adrian
that would have been
Amos is
up,
like 32.
So. Okay.
Very different guys. They just have the same last name. But he had a couple plays deep downfield that were inaccurate. The deep balls aren't perfect right now, but he played a clean game. Once he starts hitting those sorts of deep balls, though, if he can do that consistently, the offense is going to be damn near elite, too.
Yeah.
And like you said, the defense is clearly, like, I truly think the defense could be the best in the NFL by the end of the year. I don't know if it is. It looks like it so far. Now, the Packers have played one more game than the rest of the league, so it's easy to say that.
I was going to say, is that also easy to say because it's the beginning of the year for everybody? Like, it's not like the Packers are in week two and they're taking on week 10 Commanders. You know what I mean?
So one thing I did take away from the game, too, or a stat that I saw from Rob Domofsky, is that Jayden Daniels was pressured on 24 of his 52 dropbacks, 46%. That's the highest pressure percentage he's faced in a game in his career so far.
So,
I mean, the Packers were harassing him. Like I said, once again, made him look pedestrian because he had no room to operate the entire game.
I agree. And I think to Molly's point, we all can agree, or at least smart minds agree. You know, Mark Tauscher might disagree, but everyone else across the league, like when you watch the first games, the offenses, for the most part, even the Packers in the second half against the Lions, like the offenses are going to sputter to start the season. Defense is always in front of the offense across the board for every NFL team to start the season. There's less moving parts. So is the Packers defense great? Absolutely. Could they be, at the end of the year, not quite as great as they've looked in the first two games because the offenses are still trying to get their feet underneath them? Sure, but then on the reverse side of it, you could say the Packers' offense will look better as the year goes along, too, as they get their footing.
And one thing I'll say for the defense, Micah played more defensive snaps last night. He played 68% of the defensive snaps, not quite.
69. I like that number.
It would have been so cool if he had. But he played.
You just sounded like a high school boy, yeah. Honestly.
Thank you. Did you hear what
I said?
It
wasn't a compliment.
So he only played 45% of the snaps in the first game. He played 68% in the second game. Like, once he starts playing 80 to 90 snaps, like, we saw the impact he was having on the field. Yes.
Yes.
Percent.
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. Almost.
69. I like that number.
Yeah.
Once he starts doing that, like, I think this defense could be getting better as the year goes on. Now teams will start to pick up tendencies and try to find ways to take advantage of the things they're doing. But when you have a Micah and when you have that game changer on defense, like, there's no scheming around that.
We're talking like, could they go from arguably the best defense in the NFL? Or I'm saying like right now they're arguably the best defense in the NFL, and you're right, he'll play more, but then teams will counter it. Like, they're going to be a top five defense in the NFL for the entire season for as long as Micah Parsons is healthy. They're a Super Bowl caliber defense. I think unquestionably this is a defense that if Jordan Love and the Packers don't win a Super Bowl with, that's on Jordan Love and Matt LaFleur. Like, this defense is good enough to go win a Super Bowl. Almost right now it's showing flashes that it's going to be good enough to win because of. So all Jordan Love has to be is Joe Flacco.
Which, as we were saying yesterday, is a pretty damn good quarterback, though.
Like, yeah. And one thing, Joe Flacco was amazing. I was hitting those deep balls in his prime.
Yeah.
Hitting those big touchdown passes.
Jordan still misses a lot of throws.
Yes.
Like I said, that I can't understand people like Alex Stroh who are just like, his deep ball accuracy has been money tonight. It simply was not. In the first game, you could say it was. The pass that he had to Jayden Reed in the corner of the end zone in the first quarter, I mean, that was awesome. It got pulled back because of a penalty, and then Jayden Reed broke his collarbone,
which sucks. So it's funny. Like, I saw smart people also say that ball hung too much, and that's why Jordan Reed got his clock clean. I don't. That one I'm not going to pretend to be an expert on. All I know for a fact is he overthrew Matthew Golden. They had a touchdown.
The overthrow and the underthrow in the first one.
Yeah.
Both. I mean, yeah, the overthrow, that is a touchdown if he hits him in stride.
Yep.
That's a 90-whatever-yard touchdown.
Yes.
Now, it didn't matter because then they went 96 yards down the field, and then Tucker Kraft.
Well, being as I'm not from Idaho.
Okay. So I'll say this, though.
I was thinking about that this morning.
Tucker Kraft looks like a dude.
And I look really smart by saying that I thought he was going to finish the
top
five.
I don't know. Smart you look when Matt LaFleur has legitimately talked to reporters and said, I want to use more tight ends.
But I said that, like, I said he's going to be like a top, like a premier tight end, and I have him leading the Packers. What's my bold prediction for the year? Doesn't he lead the Packers in receptions and touchdowns?
I think your bold prediction is that he'd be a top five tight end by the end of the year. I know that.
Where is he
at right now in the NFL in terms of
I mean,
this is all going to be perception.
I get it.
And he's also played one more game than the rest of the tight ends.
Okay, after this weekend, we should look into it. Just because I'm curious.
Yes,
it would be fun to almost like track it week by week to see kind of like,
I
you
do
know,
believe
you look smart. Put it on like a bar graph.
If he looks,
a
if
bar
he
graph.
Stays, George Kittle's currently hurt. Like, if he looks healthy,
George Kittle's on IR, yeah.
He's going to be that George Kittle-esque tight end.
Yeah.
Without a doubt. Like, I have no... Like, Tucker Kraft is the star of this offense, outside of, obviously, Jordan Love, but...
I wouldn't say necessarily the star. I think they have a couple
Romeo
stars.
Romeo Doubs looks like a star.
Romeo Doubs has been making some big catches. Yeah. Malik Heath! Right. We got to talk about that Malik Heath catch.
And again, that was a hell of a play, and Doubs is a nice player, but, like, when I say star, like, Tucker Kraft... Hell, there could be a conversation that he's a top two or the best tight end in the NFC by the time the season's done. So that's a star. Like, Romeo Doubs is a good football player.
Josh Jacobs could get in that category, too.
True, true. But again, like, Josh Jacobs still, I think, is viewed as a sixth or seventh best running back. Tucker Kraft, again,
but if you're talking in the conference.
Oh, yes, in the conference is different. But point being, Tucker Kraft, I think, is the star. I think positionally, he's going to be viewed the highest in his position than any other player on the Packers offense. Romeo Doubs is a hell of a player. So is Josh Jacobs. So is Jordan Love. That's a lot of embarrassment of riches.
Zach Tom has a torn oblique right now that he's apparently playing through.
Rough.
If he comes back and he plays at his peak, he could be in that category.
He could be in that conversation, too. But Tucker Kraft's the one we're
and at a skill position, yeah.
We're all going to care more about that one.
It's a little sexier. What can we say?
Side note, did Romeo Doubs' job with the Green Bay Packers get saved because Jaden Reed is out now? Because it feels like
I think the odds of them trading him this year went down a lot. Because especially if Jaden Reed is out 6 to 8 weeks and then right. Christian Watson probably doesn't come back until after the trade deadline, you'd want to keep your depth at wide receiver.
Yeah, you can't trade Doubs if you don't have a healthy Watson and Reed.
Yeah. Though, I mean, but also, like, Heath made that crazy catch. Wicks has been really good these first two games. The wide receiver core and the pass catching core has been stepping up so far.
And again, and Jordan Love obviously making these throws, a lot of credit to. This reminds me when the Packers were on their run, and obviously the league figured it out the following year, so everyone will adjust. But when Matt LaFleur and Jordan Love were cooking for those 8 games, the whole thing was Jordan Love was just throwing to wide open people. Yeah. It drove anyone who was not a Packer fan insane because you're mm-hmm. like, well, what the hell? Like, how as every one of Jordan Love's throws, it felt like we're throwing to a wide open player. And so that's great. And back to what I was saying, it doesn't matter. What I used to say when people would crap on Brock Purdy, like all the talent around him in the play calling, who cares? I don't care why my quarterback's playing well. If it is because of the play calling and having some good elevated talent, who cares?
Now you're stealing takes from Molly Brown. What the heck?
What was my take?
I'm a bottomless pit.
That you don't care how the quarterback plays as long as the Green Bay Packers are winning.
No, my point is I don't care. I don't care what gets the QB his stats or gets you the points. It doesn't matter. Like
as long as you're winning.
Yeah, because Brock Purdy, like,
A win is a win.
Right, but he also had really nice numbers, too. But everyone would just crap on it. Be like, well, that's just because he's throwing to his star players. Well, that's all Jordan Love's doing right now, and who cares? Like, do you care as a Packer fan?
No, I don't care.
If I'm a Packer fan, I don't care if it's Jordan Love or if it's Matt LaFleur making it go. It's going.
The one thing I will say is that I care about Jordan Love just hitting those deep balls to Matthew Golden. Once he starts doing that, this offense is going to hit its absolute peak, and I think it could be like a near top five unit.
I want Jordan Love to be accurate, and I want him to not turn the ball over. Knock on wood, he's been good so far. That's all I want.
It's all he has to do. That's truly all he has to do.
All we've asked for is consistency.
Jim asked where the offense is right now. I'd say it's probably like... around just above top 10. I'd say like 8 or 9 probably, if I had to ballpark it.
Yeah, and I think, and this is that, I want to talk about this on the other side, because Molly, you talked about this.
Doesn't Molly get
okay,
to
I'm not taking, okay. I'm not okay. Taking, I'm not taking it to break.
It's a Molly victory Monday.
I'm not taking it to break.
On a Friday.
But we all agreed on the poll question, but it does tie into the poll question. But more importantly with the Packers, I see, like you talked about this with the Brewers, I've seen Packer fans talk about this, of like, are they going to peak too early? I have like an idea of what peak too early kind of truly means, what fans are kind of getting at. We'll talk about that on the side, but you can get into the show 844-770-3776. That's Carbo's talking text line. List is more. Our Siding Unlimited poll question is, are the Packers 2-0 if they don't trade for Micah Parsons?
Well, I can't post that yet. Molly has to ask it.
Oh.
Our Siding Unlimited poll question is, are the Green Bay Packers 2-0 without Micah Parsons? 844-770-3776. That is a Carbo's talking text line. That's your way into the show. We'll talk about that next. But first, I need to tell you about Madison College. They've been educating Wisconsin students since 1912, more than a century of opportunity. Today, many students actually start their bachelor's degree right here at Madison College. With special transfer tracks and agreements with schools like UW, you can save money, earn credits, and then move right into a four-year program. That's exactly what I did. Last year alone, over 4,500 students made the jump from Madison College to more than 600 universities. It's a proven pathway to success, and it all starts at Madison College. Start your path at madisoncollege.edu. This is Jim, Matt, and Molly.
You're listening to Jim, Matt, and Molly on Molly Victory Monday on a Friday. Presented by Coors Light on 100.5 ESPN, ESPN Madison on YouTube, and Wisconsin On Demand.
Just get it off. Step it up. Flag thrown. Normally in the area of holding. And Parsons gets in there.
You dare me!
Fish Friday continues on Jim, Matt, and Molly, presented by Coors Light. Jim Rutledge, Molly Brown with you. We're in the Everlight Solar Studio. Primetime war shine behind the glass. Get into the show, 844-770-3776. That's the Carbos Talking text line. List is more. Our Siding Unlimited poll question, are the Packers 2-0 if they don't trade for Micah Parsons? I also want to tell you about Simden Chevy in Mount Horeb. You're only minutes away from a better buying experience at Simden Chevy in Mount Horeb. So make sure to make that drive out there and say hi to Tyler and the whole team out there at Simden Chevy. Aaron as well at Simden Chevy in Mount Horeb. So expectations, as I got a fun text from our friend Jeffrey at J&K Security Solutions. He said, I peaked in high school. He's a Packers fan, Brewers fan. Like, we're friends. So
did Ryan. No, I'm just kidding.
But
sorry, Ryan.
The idea of peaking too early. Molly, you brought it up before with the Brewers.
Yes.
And I think, and I've seen some stuff about like Packer fans worrying, like, is this peaking too early? I don't think it's a matter of peaking too early. Like, if we use, like, the Brewers, like, they're one example. Because, like, they had that 14-game winning streak, but it was later in the year. So it's not like they almost just raised expectations more than like peak too early. And so maybe that's one way to do it. When the Brewers were that far in front of the Phillies and everyone else, the expectations were like, wow, the Brewers are head and shoulders above everyone else, and now they're not. Like, Philadelphia is only two games behind them. They're still going to win the division going away, but like, the Brewers might end up not being the top seed in the National League. That's fine. I think the 14-game winning streak the Brewers had was a peak too early in the idea that it set expectations too high for Brewer fans of like, well, of course, now we're going to win the World Series. Look at, we're just beating everyone's asses right now. That's a different kind. The Packers kind of, in theory, peaked too early. It wouldn't be that they peaked too early. It'd be the idea of if this is their peak. Same coordinators, same offensive system, same defensive system. All they did is add Micah Parsons, so like easy plug and play sort of, and I mean that in a great way. Like, the only thing that happened in the offseason was the addition of Micah Parsons. So if you wanted to be concerned about it, it wouldn't be, are the Packers peaking too early? But if this is their peak, like, could Detroit get better throughout
they'll
the year? Minnesota, Washington, these other teams that either had changeover or just didn't have the big testosterone boost of having Micah Parsons injected into their veins. So, like, all these sorts of things could all,
thank you, Jerry!
I wouldn't say inflate, I would say supercharge the Packers' peak. And it doesn't mean they can't maintain that peak. It's just a matter of, like, this could be the best they play all year. And the time of year doesn't matter. But if this is the peak Packers, like, if this is them at their best, they're still the team to beat in the division and still one of the top three teams in the at least the NFC.
I would echo that I don't consider this a peak. I consider it just a hot start. Like, you're starting the season off really well, which is, what more could you ask for as a fan?
Especially with these, I mean, you got them at home. That's the only little part. Like, the only thing that would have been better if they started 2-0 on the road against the Lions and Commanders.
Yeah, that's literally the only thing that could be better. But I feel like, I don't even know if there's a point in the Packers' schedule, as I scroll through it, if there's a point in their schedule that I could look at and be like, I'd be upset if they weren't peaking at that point. Like, you look at it, it's like, okay, they play the Panthers in November. Then they play the Eagles the next week. Then they play the Giants. Okay, well, like, if they're peaking during that time, that means that they beat the Eagles. But then it's like they've got divisional opponents back to back to back to back to back. Like, I don't know if there's ever a time that I would be upset with the way that they're winning. As long as they're winning, I'm good. I feel like we talk about it when it goes into the playoffs, and it was Jordan Love's first year as a starter, obviously, when he won 8 or 9 games straight, whatever it was. That it's like, they were going into the playoffs hot. So right now, I just feel like I'm glad that they're starting the season off hot. And now, hopefully, by the end of the season, they're going into the playoffs hot too.
And do you guys think that what we're seeing from them right now, this is their peak? Or honestly, I think they're at like 90% of their peak.
I was going to say, I think offense is at 80%.
I think offense is at 80%. Defense is getting close to 100, I'd say.
Offense is hard to find. Defense, I agree. Because Micah Parsons, the one thing is like they're also, I don't know how many play, what percentage of the snaps he'll play because.
I'd imagine he plays like 80% when fully healthy.
I was going to say, yeah, 75 to 80 because he's got the back too. Is the other thing. No matter what, even when he's healthy, it sounds like his back's going to be
a
thing all year.
And I think when he was with the Cowboys, I don't even think he was an every down player necessarily.
And that's what I was getting at. I think he's pretty close to the max amount of time he's going to play, add a handful more snaps, but he's obviously incredibly impactful. And this whole conversation assumes no major injuries, even though the Packers just had one with Reed. But they have
and Zach Tom with this torn oblique that he's playing through.
Yeah, and that does lower his ceiling most likely because I mean, he's a hell of a football player. But if you got a torn oblique, you can't reach your 100%.
Yep.
So if he's a Pro Bowl caliber guy, he might be just fringe Pro Bowler with a bad oblique, which is still a great player.
When looking at this team though, now especially with what Micah's doing to help the defense out, like I'm starting to see like guys who could be Pro Bowlers across the defensive front. Like
You're
honestly,
right.
with Sean Gary, like. Honest, Matt's prediction that he finally gets a double-digit sacks. He's already at two this year through two games. Like, he's well on his pace.
Uh-huh.
Like we said, LVN is looking like he's going to have a breakout. Not a breakout year, but a career year at the very least.
Yeah.
Edrin Cooper looks like a certified
dog. So I agree. Like, the defense is there. It's on all cylinders.
Yeah.
Offensively,
he's going to have a lot of good games.
Offensively, we just don't know. Like, again, like, is.
I think we know if Jordan Love starts hitting these deep balls that this offense could be. Really,
and you know, my
really
stance
dangerous.
On him is that he's going to be consistently inconsistent, but he's still very good. Like, again, Flacco,
but
Jared
if that
Goff,
can change,
Pro Bowl QB good.
If he can just find that little bit more consistency, especially on deep balls,
right.
that could be the difference.
It could be. We have not seen it on a consistent basis. This is year six in the league.
Yes.
So, but this is my point is it doesn't matter. The defense is good enough. All Jordan Love has to be is the quote-unquote dreaded Jared Goff, Brock Purdy QB.
Thank you, Jerry!
That's all he has to be.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where you want to be. As a Packer, as a football fan, you don't want to have everything on the quarterback.
Which we've seen.
Because there's only, right now, what, Mahomes? Look, even Joe Burrow's amazing. And when everything is on Joe Burrow, he won 9 games. It's really, what, Mahomes and then probably Rodgers back in the day and Brady.
Josh Allen now, you feel
Josh
pretty
Allen
good about
right now, yeah. but like where the whole, Lamar Jackson might be there, but like the whole thing is on them, where they have to be Superman. Look at Washington. For Washington to win, Jayden Daniels has to be Superman. For the Packers to win, Micah
Clark
Parsons.
Clark Kent last night.
Micah Parsons.
What did you say?
He's Clark Kent last night.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Kryptonite.
Micah Parsons.
Three doors down. Full circle from yesterday's Digi Only show.
Yep.
Thank you, Jerry!
Don't forget to watch it back on the ESPN Madison YouTube stream or the streaming on the ESPN Wisconsin app.
I don't know. Molly's eyebrows look a little more popping today than they did yesterday.
Wait. Okay. Wait. Hold on. What? That wasn't yesterday. I didn't show up to the office looking like the freaking.
No, but we saw him on the YouTube stream.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. But
we put a picture up there and everything.
Yes, yeah. I know. You've done that today, too, I see.
Yeah, it's on the break graphic.
Like,
the fans
like,
will see it
down.
Coming up if they look over there during the commercial break.
They're literally going to shut it off because it looks so ugly.
No.
All right. Jason Wood is going to come up next, but from Cutting Edge Intercom Systems for your office or simply replacing the old lock on your front door, J&K Security Solutions have you covered. With a network of top-tier suppliers, they create customized solutions tailored just for you. At J&K, customer service is their top priority, and your peace of mind is always their mission. Visit them today at jksecurity.com and experience the J&K difference. Your home, your business, their priority. This is Jim, Matt, and Molly, presented by Coors Light.
This is Martin Selsaker from Norway. You're listening to Jim, Matt, and Holly on 100.5 SPN Madison.
Jason, quick
you
question.
You are one of one.
Three-time Wisconsin Sports Writer of the Year.
Thank you for helping me prove my point, Molly. Because
you're welcome.
Well, is this Matt Hamilton?
Okay. Molly said it best. I said fart in the bathtub. She said gross.
Do you have a question for Jason, or how is he supposed to respond
to
this?
No, he asked the questions to me. No bats.
By hanging up.
Jason Wilde is on Jim, Matt, and Molly.
Oh, snap! What's up with that? What's up with that?
We are thrilled to be joined by Jason Wilde for a third time this week, Molly Brown.
He's been on the show more than Matt Hamilton has.
That's not uncommon. Primetime War Shine Behind the Glass. Jason, how are you doing on a Friday?
Yeah, that's a little much, don't you think? Three times talking to you two? No, it's great, and I love it, and I'm thrilled to be here. I do have a question, though.
Yeah.
I had not. I liked the tweets, but I didn't look at it closely. Your trip to the Wiener Circle, Molly, for all the criticism you delivered for me for my palate and how we're just never going to be together.
Okay.
What's that True. Face you're making?
Okay. I don't have an explanation for that. What do you mean? Like, I had everything on it. The
That's
only
not
thing
your
I wasn't
regular face.
No, but
the
I was like,
the face you're making is kind of a
we're
it's
at
an
Wiener
odd
Circle.
Face. I barely even recognized you.
My eyes were glowing. I know it was crazy.
They were bugging.
I think I was like switching faces too as Jim was taking the picture, but I was like, whatever.
But it was also like the whole time we're down there, Jason. Full disclosure, we felt like awkward because everyone there thought we were a couple. Like, we're just taking photos, and I'm taking photos of her. So I think there was like this other part of like we can't make this look
we can't couple-y. Look like we're in a relationship.
Yeah, yeah. So like we can't just put this out there. So that I think was a little bit in the factor too. Just make a goofy face, so then it just looks.
Okay.
Less.
All right. I will accept that explanation.
Right, because
I understand. Yeah.
Yeah, Jason, we went to Wiener Circle, then we went to Cut. We also went to Target and a couple other
multiple Targets. Yeah.
We went to Target together. Yeah. I don't know why anybody would think you were a couple.
Yeah.
You guys should tell them about how you lost the car too.
Yeah,
we lost the car. I was yelling at Jim because we lost the car. I'm just kidding.
Pressure.
Yeah, that was the one thing. That's how you know you're not a couple. There was no yelling about parking or driving. That's a couple exclusive thing that I should have been yelled at.
Very true.
For so different things, Rutledge, but I was not.
Okay, all right. I'm glad we covered this.
Yes.
Thank you for the explanation.
Yeah. I am now not in a relationship with Jason Wilde, and I am not in a relationship with Jim Rutledge.
You can mark yourself safe Ryan, from relationships yes. with Jim
with
or Jason.
Wow.
That was a hell of a game last night, and the Packers defense, I mean, already looks Super Bowl caliber. I've been kind of comparing them a little bit, and it's early, but they had the potential to be that Ravens-style defense that won a Super Bowl with Joe Flacco, which kind of gets me to the other part of Jordan Love, where this is the best-case scenario. Matt LaFleur mm-hmm. seems like he's in his bag of players are running open. Jordan Love is throwing it to them as soon as he sees them open. The offensive line, even being hurt, did well last night. The week before, he did well. Complimentary football. They don't have to play from behind. They get to keep the opposing defense on the heels. So, like, there was a whole joke about Joe Flacco, is he elite? And that's kind of the conversation about Jordan Love, like, will he get to be elite? It doesn't matter. Uh-huh. If with this offense and with this play calling and that defense, he doesn't have to be elite.
Yeah, and, you know, I was going back and looking at some of his throws, and I understand... every time I say anything close to this, there is a small vocal minority on our social media channels that will call me a Love hater, which is obviously completely preposterous. But, like, I didn't even think he put the ball where he wanted to on some of the throws with guys being yeah. open, right? Like, yeah, the one couple of underthrows. I mean, obviously he didn't hit Golden on what would have been a touchdown. And again, one of my favorite things about Jordan – which you can view my relationship with his predecessor however you'd like, but I have been consistently critical to his face, I might add, about how he never took the blame for anything. Like it was always an explanation or more likely someone else's fault, right?
Yep.
And Jordan Love's not like that. So when I say that Jordan Love had a really good game last night, but there were some throws where if it's a little more accurate, he hits the guy in stride and seems like the Tucker Kraft pass. Awesome play, right?
Yep.
Great play, but he had to wait for it, right? And so I don't think that's a harsh criticism at all. What I think it is just the truth. And I think Jordan would say the same thing, and that's what I like about him. And it makes me respect him even more than I already do, because he's not going to be like, well, Tucker, you know, didn't run at the right depth or this or that. And so my point is that we have talked many times about what his floor is and how good we believe he is, and the whole elite conversation. That's a really good parallel, by the way, because those defenses were ridiculous that Flacco had, and kind of like when they won it in 2000 too, right? I mean, mm-hmm. not sure these guys are going to be quite that good as that defense, but certainly, you know, they're pretty darn good defensively when they had Trent Dilfer winning a Super Bowl too. But my point is that Jordan doesn't have to be that guy. You know, Pausch loves to do the, he doesn't have to be Superman, he can just be Clark Kent. He's something more than Clark Kent, by the way.
Yeah.
Like, yes. He may not be the, you know, full-strength Superman. Maybe he's Superman with a little tiny little crystal of kryptonite.
Maybe he's Batman, who didn't have special powers but got it done. Like, that could be a comp there, too.
Yeah, this is too in superheroes. I kind of like that. This is too in Marvel and DC for me. Sorry.
They're both DC, by the way.
Oh, yeah, my bad.
Hey, superhero nerds.
Hey!
Let's not get bogged down here.
I'm going to bring Hunter Vaughn in here to tell you something, Jason.
Oh, he's still trying to work his way through his feelings with Tausch about Tausch hating the newest Superman movie, which he has not seen, I might add.
Oh, classic. Classic. Let me tell you, like, the internet told him to hate it, so he hates it? Is that what it is?
Yeah. Superman is woke, so I don't like it. God. Rubbish.
Goodness.
Jason.
Isn't Superman woke to begin with, though? Like, I just save everyone and help everyone?
I do not. I have no interest in this.
No idea.
I have not seen the film either.
No, I'm just saying, like,
that was the criticism
he saves
I saw.
Everyone. Yeah. That was my. I agree, but I was just saying he saves everyone. I don't know. I guess maybe that's not what we want. Go ahead.
Jason, Jim seems to think that he's a genius for his prediction of Tucker Kraft being potentially a top five tight end in the league by the end of the season. What was your prediction going into the season on Tucker Kraft?
That he's going to be a top five tight end.
But I also said he's going to lead the Packers in receptions and touchdowns and be their most key offensive weapon. That was the other part of it. Like, he's going to be their Kelsey.
Well, he let him in touchdowns last year, didn't he?
Right,
I don't know.
Basically, I think he's going to be. Travis
Kelce.
This
isn't the Boldathon.
Yeah, no.
This isn't the Boldathon where you try and say something crazy like Domofsky. Brandon McManus will not miss a kick all year, and then he will hit a walk-off game winner in the Super Bowl.
I said
the second part's still alive. The first part not.
I said he was going to miss two. So Matt gave me a countdown last night that I have one more to go for the rest of the
season.
That
was not Matt giving you a
countdown.
Was that
you?
That was me.
I apologize. And Ryan giving me a countdown.
And McManus also has to hit three game winners for your prediction to come true. So
well, this team looks too good for that part of it. So
I'll tell you who looks good right now. It's Tom Waddle, who said that they could start the season 8-0.
Yeah, I mean, you look at it, there's not a... After these first two games, it gets a lot easier. So that it's actually pretty good. There's a nasty end of the season for the Packers, depending on how their teams in the North, if they get better. But, you got Denver and the Ravens in there, and then you got at Chicago and at Minnesota. I don't know what those teams will be at the end of the year, but they got a nice run in front of them, the Packers do, absolutely.
Jason, what are the vibes in the locker room right now? Is the team celebrating that they're winning? Is it just like, okay, great, we won, now on to the next? What is it like, especially now with the addition of Micah Parsons?
Yeah, I think that winning is obviously a great feeling, and they're all excited. And the defense, I'm not sure if the players are as excited as Wooly is, because he's off the hook excited. But I would say this, I think they're really thrilled with how, Jim is when I come on the show, thrilled with the way they're playing, but also aware that there's a lot more out there. For example, we're talking about some of the misses that Love had. I was talking to the boys in Beaver Dam on the Dam Sports Show, and they were talking about, should we be concerned that Matthew Golden has two catches and didn't have one last night at all? And I said, no, we're having a completely different conversation about Matthew Golden if that throw from Love is 6 inches shorter, right, and doesn't overthrow him. We're talking about what an unbelievable diving touchdown catch he made. I mean, that's the reason why they call it a game of inches. And so, I'm not worried about him in the least. If he was on my fantasy team, I suppose, and one of my colleagues did have him on his fantasy team, and he sits down the row for me in the press box, and he was very frustrated with his lack of production. Which, again, I don't play fantasy football, so I don't have to worry about those types of feelings. But, look, the bottom line is that he's going to have his days. I don't know when they're going to be. It could be next Sunday in Cleveland. But nothing has changed, in my opinion, of how stinking good that guy is. He is super talented.
I agree. I thought Packer fans are maybe setting too high of an expectation for a rookie with an offense that likes to spread it around, but I think he will end up to be a very good player. Micah Parsons, obviously.
Yeah, but he's not going to, I don't think, obviously this is easier to say now after he's got two catches for 16 yards in the first two games. But his role's probably going to expand now with Reed out with the broken collarbone to even get more opportunities. But I didn't think he was going to be a 1,000-yard receiver to begin with. Like, because of exactly what you said.
Yes. Both my co-hosts have him.
Well, okay, that was for the Boldathon. So the rules of the Boldathon in order to be asked
How
back.
How many Boldathon predictions did you make?
Me?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, I guess because we talked about our McMahon. Yeah, okay, so we did. I don't know what this was. Was this a, No, there's a difference. Okay, so initially,
I don't know what this was.
It was the Boldathon that I appeared on your guys' show where I said that I was going, or that Matthew Golden was going to be break the rookie receiving record
for
the Packers.
Houghton.
Yes.
Yeah, you dropped some knowledge. That was awesome.
So I picked that on your guys' show.
You're going to be wrong, though.
Well, you never know what could happen in 15 more games. Ah, we can do it. Anyways.
Good luck.
But then we did a don't quote me, I believe, is what we did, right, Ryan?
Yes, we
and
did
then
don't
that
quote me
is
predictions
where,
for the season.
Yes. So that is where I did the Brandon McManus one. I forgot about the game-winning field goals, though.
Well,
because
Matt pressured you into adding that on afterwards.
Yeah.
Because he felt like missing two field goals all year wasn't bold enough.
Considering he only missed one last year, but he also only played
11 games.
So that's a backstory.
Right. I didn't mean to sidetrack this. You were going to ask about Micah Parsons, Jim.
I was. Micah Parsons. Are the Packers 2-0 if they don't trade for Micah Parsons?
Now, that's a great question. And obviously, I don't have Doc Brown's time machine to go back and have Jerry be smart enough not to let him out of the building. How about the fans, by the way, chanting, thank you, Jerry.
It is.
That was awesome.
It is wild because at the same time I'm seeing all this Cowboys hate, I'm wrapping up the Cowboys documentary on Netflix, which is very fascinating. So it is crazy to see where Jerry was, and I kind of forgot how big the Cowboys were to him being basically a punchline in the NFL.
Yeah, he's done it to himself.
Oh, yeah.
So here's the thing. Like, I think they felt really good about the defense they were going to be regardless. I really do. But I don't think there's any downplaying how much, like, excitement and confidence he infused into that group. Like, they are playing, I mean, they're walking around, like, with their chest puffed out, like, hey, we are the 85 Bears. We are the 2000 Ravens. Like, they are so full of confidence and not cocky. I really don't think that, because in talking with Xavier McKinney last night, especially, he's like, look, man, we're doing some really good things and we're still not even close to as good as we could be. Like, look at how much Parsons is playing and look at how limited the things that they're doing with him are. Like, Halfley, as soon as he found out that they were acquiring him, started drawing up plays for different ways he can get them into, you know, matchups to get after the quarterback. And they haven't even gone into that bag of tricks all that much. So I don't think so, to be honest. Like, I think because the part of this that you cannot do the math on, and there's no empirical formula to be able to tell us what impact he's had, is just the belief and the level of, like, because it's not just him, it's also Goody basically telling these guys, hey, I think this is a Super Bowl team, and I'm going to put our cap space money where my mouth is and go out and get a guy who's going to cost us a lot, because that's how much I think we've got. You know, we're one player away, even though he claimed that that's not something he believes in. He clearly believes in it because he went and got that one player. So I don't know. Like, are they as good last night without him? Are they as good against the Lions? I'm guessing at one of those two games, their defense isn't quite this good, because think about all the influence he had in the Lions game. Like, he had the sack, but he also had the pressure that led to the interception. He had a pressure that led to LVN's half sack. Like, he had the two-man blocking that allowed Colby Wooden to hit Montgomery at the goal line when they were coming out from the shadow of their own goalpost to keep them pinned back there. Like, his presence was so looming large in that first game. I don't know if they have that kind of bump if he's not on their roster.
I agree with you. He's a multiplier. I mean, Keyshawn Nixon, Hobbs, Van Ness, Gary, like, why all these players have benefited, and obviously Cooper, some of the better players have too, but players who were prove-it type players this year all look great because they have to do less because Micah Parsons draws so much attention. He just multiplies all the attention on him, so then Gary and everyone else gets better.
I love that line. I'm totally feeling that. You're going to see it at channel3000.com, and you're getting no credit whatsoever.
Hey, if I read it, I'll feel great. Just seeing that something I said made it out there by you.
You can tell Rutledge that.
But and that's why I say they, I mean, they're probably 1-1, but they just don't have, and also you can't even like factor in the adrenaline boost that adding Parsons did to this team of like, oh wait, they believe in us.
Right. That was, you said it much more succinctly. That's exactly what it said. That this organization believes that we already have a bunch of really good players. And then by adding one, we're going all the way. And that's exactly the vibe I get from them.
It's going to be a fun season. It's always fun to cover winning, so it'll be a fun season for you and all the Packer fans. Jason, thanks so much for hopping on with us.
All right, guys. Great to talk with you. Three times, Jim, Matt, and Molly. should I start booking a third day with you guys, or am I still going to be on 2 days?
We'll take you.
Hey, Jason, we can make room.
Okay, we'll have to negotiate.
Yeah.
That.
Careful what you say out there, Jason. Otherwise, you're going to end up on the show 3 days.
5 days.
Yes, I'll work on it. Yeah. All right. I'll talk to you guys later. Maybe three times next week. Take care. Be good.
Sounds good. Sounds like at this point it's going to be Jim, Jason, and Molly.
Did I throw Matt under the bus that many times? Sorry.
With sometimes Matt Hamilton. Special guest star.
It's curling season.
He's a special guest.
But also like in Saturday Night Live where they have like they have like starring and they list all the people, also including and it's just like the random like people have been like a few episodes.
Hey, Team Schuster did get a big win on Thursday night too last night.
Shut up.
7-2. Now they did fall this morning, but they are gonna be going live again at 5:30. Come on.
No shade to Matt Hamilton the curler. It's just
Matt Hamilton the radio host. They're two different people. Come on.
Importantness.
Canopy Wealth Management is an independent fee-based firm specialized in customized investment portfolio management, tax-aware wealth planning, and personalized client service. Their local professional team brings over 90 years of collective experience to help guide their clients like me through life transitions. As a fiduciary, they honor their ethical duty to put their clients' best interests first. Go to canopy-wealth.com to get started with them today. That's canopy-wealth.com. This is Jim, Matt, and Molly, presented by Coors Light.
Thank you, Jerry!
Listening to Jim, Matt, and Molly, presented by Coors Light on 100.5 ESPN, the ESPN Wisconsin app, and ESPN Madison on YouTube.
Stuck his head in the studio and told us there's an army of middle-aged men wearing Hawaiian t-shirts.
Before you say who's here.
Okay. Molly Brown, Jim Rutledge. I've done radio once.
Wow.
This isn't my first time.
You never know.
Prime time, Laura Shine. It was my first time earlier and I was premature with my Coors, or was I late with it? I was too early.
You were late.
I was late with it. Better late than never. My Coors Light.
Better than premature, I suppose.
Yeah, I suppose when it's your first time, you're usually early, not late. So
that's why I assumed I was premature.
That's a you problem, right? I'm just kidding.
Wow.
I heard them talking about your dating life on KPN.
Whoa.
This guy, Ryan is such a goob.
Wait. What do you mean? What do you mean they were talking about my dating life? What dating life?
You were literally, okay.
I was going to say, when
literally said, he's like, I have Micah Parsons in my life. I don't need a girl. What?
When Ryan arrives, it's right on time.
What'd you say?
When Ryan arrives, it's right on time.
Punctual.
Gotcha.
Yes.
I'm a producer. You got to be punctual.
All right. Sure. Anyways, you can chime in 844-770-3776. You probably know, but without Googling who's playing at Bree Stevens, that it's attracting a flock of middle-aged men in Hawaiian t-shirts. It's not Jimmy Buffett. For obvious reasons. R.I.P.
Could have been a cover band. Could have been the Beach Boys cover band.
I'm honestly surprised. A lot of the Beach Boys are still alive.
Well, Brian Wilson, wasn't he the main one? He recently passed away, didn't he?
Yeah, John Stamos. But I don't think Brian Wilson.
John Stamos? Isn't that the guy from Full House?
Sure, plays with them.
John Stamos does that?
You guys don't know that?
Uncle Jesse?
Yeah, pull up the Kokomo video. He's in it. Yeah.
Kokomo? What's Kokomo?
Aruba. Jamaica. Oh. Ooh, I want to take you. He's like, he's
I
a.
I said that song was called Aruba.
Anyways, John Stamos definitely is filled in sporadically as a drummer for the Beach Boys. But it's not the Beach Boys. I'm honestly surprised there's not, like, you know how with the Grateful Dead, they have a Dead and Company, sort of like John Mayer and a couple others tour and play Grateful Dead songs.
Okay.
I'm surprised that maybe someone will pick it up. Someone palatable, like not the Zac Brown Band, but like someone palatable that could like pick it up and be a Jimmy Buffett sort of traveling cover band would be good.
Okay.
I would take that. I would go see that because I feel like I missed out. But the Parrotheads have like a community. But anyways, it's not the Parrotheads. There is someone in town. You can chime in 844-770-3776. Like Bree Stevens is just down the road from Chalmers Jewelers. One in Madison, one in Middleton. Chalmers Jewelers, Madison's family owned Madison's Custom and Madison's locally owned jeweler, Chalmers Jewelers in Chalmers Jewelers in Madison and in Middleton. All right, let's get to Don't Quote Me.
We're not saying it's gonna happen.
Let it ride!
But if it does, then we want credit.
Say that again, because that is an amazing take.
I told you all.
If not, well...
Don't quote me, boy, because I ain't said...
Yeah, guys, and our second week of Don't Quote Me predictions here on Jim, Matt, and Molly, well, doesn't matter. You don't really have to quote us much, because none of them came true, guys. Now, these are bold predictions, but I'll start off with one. Guys, who do we think predicted that Jayden Daniels... whatever, 350 total yards and 3 TDs, and the Washington Commanders would win by 3 points.
Well, that was me.
Yes.
Yeah. I mean, was there any...
Hater.
Yeah. A hater. Like, I thought he was going to be MVP candidate.
And honestly, I thought...
Your point is a valid one.
Yeah, it wasn't a bad prediction.
I thought it was a valid point when you were like, Jayden Daniels was going to get his. I think everyone expected that to happen, yeah. And it was crazy that he only ends up 25 of 42 for 200 yards and 2 touchdowns, sacked 4 times.
How many rushing yards did he have? I'm sorry.
Oh, I didn't see rushing
not
yards.
Not many.
I mean, he never really broke the pocket.
No, not at all. That's why I was curious.
That was the part that surprised me. I thought they would get pressure, but I thought he'd be able to, you know, sometimes with a running QB, like, you can outrun... I've seen Justin Fields did it all the time. Like, you can outrun guys. What makes Jayden Daniels elite is he can throw it as well. But I thought he might just go out there and run for 100 yards.
And that's the thing, is there really was nowhere for him to throw it to because he got heated up so fast he had to get the ball out quick. The Packers corners look like Pro Bowlers when you play with Micah Parsons.
Absolutely.
It's crazy. All right, and then the next prediction, guys. Who do we think predicted that Rashawn Gary would be getting a scoop and score a touchdown? Hint, it wasn't Matt Hamilton's prediction.
Shockingly, it wasn't. It was mine.
What?
He How had do you a feel sack? About
it? He did. He had it. Was it a full sack or a half sack?
I think he had it. Full. I don't know.
They finished with 4 total sacks, and I want to say there was 3 guys, or no, I guess 4 guys who all had half sacks, and then 1 guy had a full sack. But, I mean, he had a great game, too. Micah Parsons only finishes with a half sack. It doesn't really tell the story of how those guys played individually.
Right.
Yeah. But I guess the Packers still haven't gotten the defensive score yet this year. Only 2 weeks, but...
I'm sorry. I was literally looking up to see if I could find the box score from last night. And the first article on underneath the Packers on ESPN.com is Jones expresses no regret over trading Parsons.
Yeah.
We're going to have to look into that. That's hilarious.
Thank you, Jerry!
There hasn't been... Have the Packers gotten a turnover yet this season?
Yeah, Evan Williams had that pick in the first game.
Oh, yes. Forgot about that one, yeah.
Yeah, there was no turnovers last night, but they have 1 turnover so far this season.
Xavier McKinney hasn't done anything yet.
I mean, when he's on the back end, like, teams can't even really test him.
Well, yeah, like, I mean, I'm saying, like, in terms of comparing to last year where he was getting an interception every single game,
last
he hasn't
year.
Done that. Which, Jim, you boldly predicted, not even boldly, but you said... That
reasonably predicted.
Yes, you reasonably predicted that their turnovers are going to go down because turnovers are just a luck of the draw.
I'm an expert on teams that have really great defenses that make the quarterback matter less.
And really great off seasons.
And the reason why the Bears have never been anything close to a dynasty is it's always hard to repeat that.
Yep.
Especially the turnovers.
All right, well, do you think that Matt Hamilton would want to repeat his prediction that the Green Bay Packers would have 0 turnovers as an offense? And that Washington Commanders would score under 18 points. Matt was 1 point away.
He was, but he did not get it.
Do you think Dan Quinn knew Matt Hamilton's prediction?
Yes.
When he decided to go for 2 at the end of the game?
He heard him all the way up in Canada.
He just did it for Matt Hamilton.
Importantness. I like that. I like that idea.
I mean, it was a good prediction.
That is crazy, though. Good for Matt.
It ended up looking really, really good, guys. But it did not come true. Now, hopefully, some of our predictions for the Cover 5 app could come true for the new Jim, Matt, and the Molly League over at the Cover 5 app. Isn't that right?
That is right. Am I starting this off? Or?
Well, so what we're going to do is this is our Jim, Matt, and Molly League on the Cover 5 app. So you can go join the app, download the
Cover. Do you want me to tell you how to do it?
Molly, you got it.
All right. So you can join our Cover app, Cover 5 contest today for your chance to win a Jim, Matt, and Molly prize pack. What that is, you'll have to see, but it'll be good. Here's how it works. You make 5 picks against the spread every week. You get points depending on how your picks do. You'll get the difference. So if you pick a team favored by 3 points and then they win by 10, you'll get the difference of 7 points for that pick. Seems easy enough, right? So best cumulative score at the end of the season wins a Jim, Matt, and Molly prize pack. You download the Cover 5, the free Cover 5 app today. Go to Join Leagues and enter code JMM25. JMM25. Jim, Matt, and Molly 25. Right? Makes sense.
It's incredibly simple, guys.
Very simple.
And the way to pick games is incredibly simple, too, including if you're Matt Hamilton. So I'll throw his out there first. Okay. Since he's not on the show, he can't change his if somebody takes it. He feels pretty good about Buffalo covering 6.5 points against the Jets this weekend. Now, it is the Bills at the Jets, but the Jets, I mean, Justin Fields, we were talking about him saying, Jaden Daniels looked like him with the Bears last night. Jaden Daniels with the Jets, not bad.
Or Justin Fields with the Jets.
I think that's fair. Jaden Daniels with the Jets.
I'm in a glass house here, but I just wanted to clear it up.
I know, you're right. All right, so Jim, what's yours?
I don't know if the Bears are going to win or not, but 6.5 point dogs to Detroit. Like, Ben Johnson had his, the thing that we're ignoring, or I think bettors are ignoring, or the line is annoying. Like, they handled the Vikings until the fourth quarter, and it fell apart, so this time around, it's not crazy to think that Ben Johnson cleans up his mistakes that he owned of challenging a challenge he shouldn't have challenged and not kicking it short to get the 5. There were small little things that he did, and that was his first game as an NFL coach. This will be his first on the road. I don't know if they win, but I think the Lions may have really screwed up with their offensive coordinator hire. Like, he is a guy that's been around the league forever, that's been a coordinator one time, and that was it. That screams that could be a massive possible mistake. And even if they didn't, I think the Lions are still getting their foot under them. They're going to come out with that warm urine that Matt LaFleur talks about. But I still think the Bears keep it close. Because if nothing else, Caleb seems to have fourth quarter magic. Like, even the game that Eberflus got fired in after Detroit, they covered. So I think they'll cover. The Bears are a covering team.
All right, Molly, what's your Cover 5 lock?
My Cover 5 lock is the Chargers -3.5 against the Las Vegas Raiders. I couldn't even tell you, other than what, Max Crosby? Couldn't even tell you, another player on the Raiders.
Geno Smith?
Oh, I forgot that he's their quarterback.
Yeah, that's crazy.
Forgot about that. What?
Genty.
Ashton Genty.
Again. That team is just so irrelevant to me.
Really?
And honestly, I think that the Chargers looked so dang good against the Chiefs last week. So I'm taking that.
Yep. Should be a good one on Monday Night Football. Watch it on ESPN and ABC. Guys, my prediction or my Cover 5 lock will be I'm just going against the Dolphins for a lot of reasons. It seems like the vibes down in Miami are awful. And I think the Patriots, I don't think they're a great team, but I think they can cover a +1.5 dog line. I feel like Mike Vrabel's going to get their pee pretty warm as well.
Damn hot!
So I would take the Patriots to cover +1.5. Now, guys, we got to finish up. We got to pick as a group what is our show Cover 5 lock. There's some good ones out here still. Honestly, guys, I think we should just pick a side in the Eagles-Chiefs game.
Okay, because college isn't in this?
This is NFL.
Okay, because I was going to say, Bama beating the Badgers is a lock.
Oh,
and
beating.
Covering.
And covering. Yes.
What is the spread for?
Last I saw was 20.5.
No, not that one.
Oh.
For Eagles at Kansas City.
Oh, that's a 1.5 point spread. The Eagles favored by 1.5.
I would take the Eagles. I think the Chiefs are good, but I think the Eagles are the best team
at Kansas
in the
City, though. I put a lot into home field advantage, especially there.
Yeah, but the Eagles did just...
And for the Chiefs, it was 2 to start out the season.
The Eagles did just undress them in the Super Bowl, not 7 months ago.
I think the Eagles are the
best. I could agree with Philly.
You have to.
I could agree with Philly, but I guess I'm probably cheering for the Chiefs, unfortunately.
All right. So we're going with Philly -1.5 for that one.
Okay.
All right, guys. Anyone listening, go out there and join that Jim, Matt, Molly league. See if you can
JMM25. That's your code. Get into the Jim, Matt, Molly one.
Got Molly's game on the other side.